morning.
Good morning.
I'll start with saying thank you for allowing me to come and share about this journey that Yahweh put our family on over 7 years ago. And so I do really appreciate any time that we're given the opportunity to just not only bring awareness to this industry, but in that also to just give praise and thanks to the one that opened the doors, to the one that has provided not only for our family during this time frame, but for each and every woman and child that he's allowed me to work with and allowed my husband and our family to work with. I'm kind of big on giving him praise because, yes, I'm standing here this morning, but it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for him. He's the only reason that any of this is possible, and I never want to bring myself glory or, you know, things that we do glory, because that's just, it doesn't matter. It's all him. So if you walk away today and you don't realize that, then I've kind of failed at my message this morning. My name's Andrea Whitmer, and I've been married for over 23 years now to my husband, Jeremy, and y'all want to probably pray for him. He has to live with me, so just put him on your prayer list now. Right now, prepare your ears. Right now, we have 12 children. Now, our oldest is 22 years old, and we have all the prophets. You start going through, and we have Jeremiah and Elijah and Isaiah and Nehemiah, and just that. You just keep going. But our youngest is 7 months old, and she's a little princess. And I've given birth to some. I have not given birth to all, but they are all my children, if that makes sense to you guys. And so 7 years ago in March, we had someone call us and ask about doing prison ministry at Muncie. It's a women's correctional facility. There's one in Cambridge Springs that's a little bit more minor offenses, and then you have Muncie that kind of hits all the categories for women. And what they needed is there was a woman there that was incarcerated, and she was due with a baby like any time now. And if you don't have someone to be able to come to the hospital and pick your baby up while you're incarcerated, like if you don't have a family member or a friend, then children and youth come and take the child into custody. So they called and said, listen, we have a mom. She's due like any day now. Would you be willing to take the child and then work with the mom? And then when the hope was, is when she gets out, you know, she would be able to have her child back. And I answered yes right away. And she kind of laughed and said, you know, do you want to check with Jeremy first? I said, I can do that. But I know my husband by this point, you know, enough to know that when I called him, he said, why are you asking me? You know, of course, that's no problem. And so that began this journey for the ministry. I went in, I met with the mom. That was my first time in a prison. Not really exactly what I thought it was going to be. She actually was in the infirmary that day. They don't normally let people go back. I was just waiting in the visitor center. And they just said, you know, we don't even know. We don't normally do this, but we're going to allow you to go back and meet with her. And so there was not a no contact room in the infirmary. And so they put us literally in a janitor's closet. And she came in, and that was my first time meeting her. And she was 9 months pregnant. She came in, she immediately gave me a hug. I love hugs. And so I was just like really thankful for that. But within 45 seconds of our conversation, the guard came in, they called out her name and told her to get into her cell. And they looked at me and said, get on the bench. Which of course, you know, I just said, yes, ma'am. And I sat down. And I was kind of humored because there was two women that were incarcerated sitting nearby, and they just looked at me because they heard the harshness, you know, that just happened. And they said, welcome to prison. I'm like, you are right. But, you know, it all worked out. Long story short on that, she gave birth. We went to the hospital, quickly got everything together in preparation of bringing home this little bundle of joy. And He is just the most precious, beautiful child you've ever seen in your entire life. And it was really hard because I still remember being in the nursery and I was getting him dressed in his little take-home outfit. And transportation had come to get her, to take her back to prison. You imagine, ladies, if you've ever given birth, you know what you're feeling like. And then imagine getting shackled and chained to go back and heal at a prison, which not, no offense, but it's not quality care. I could hear the shackles and chains hitting the floor. Here I am, you know, it's like bittersweet. You're like dressing this beautiful little baby boy and had this little bow tie and he's just so cute. And then you can hear the chains on the floor as they're ushering her down the hall to be transported back to Muncie. That was a really bittersweet day. Is why there was so much joy, there was so much sadness too. Because yes, she committed crimes and obviously she did her time and she had her consequences. That's what she was doing. But it just, as a human being, it just seems so unfair. And as a mom, to know that she was just going to be ripped from her child and then go back not having him. And also to heal, you know, there's just all of that. And so within that first month, I went to the prison on her birthday and we celebrated. She loved honey buns and Mountain Dew. So we celebrated her birthday in May that year. And she said, you know, I have a funny question for you. You want to hear it? Sure. She said, I would like for you to adopt him. And I said, well, you know, and I didn't want her to feel like we weren't going to help her. And so I said, look, we want to help you. We want to give you every opportunity to be a mom. We're going to walk alongside you, you know. And she said, no, I'm being honest with you. If you don't do it, I will find someone else. So again, that's a whole other story. But yes, a week before he is a year old, we were able to adopt him. And he is now 7 years old. And he's another little prophet name. I'll spare that right now. But beautiful, just a beautiful child. And even during these years, even though she did not want to have communication with him and didn't want pictures or anything like that, I still was her only lifeline. So she still calls me. She still communicates with me. And that's fine. And it doesn't make sense to everybody, but it makes sense to us. We have a relationship kind of outside of her son, and yet I'm the mom of her son, but it's the beauty that Yahweh brought us together, and it just works. And so when she got released that August, by that point, I had met a lot of women in the visitor's room. And you know what? Everyone, not everyone, a lot of people want to think they know, you know, they want to put a label on someone who's incarcerated. And I know there's different levels. But the bottom line is it's all related around sin. You know, we sitting here in a church, we can sometimes put ourselves up above that. And yet a lot of us can sit here this morning and have sin in our lives, and it's still the same. It's sin. It's sin related. And so when you go into a prison and you go to the visitor's room, what you see, at least even at Muncie, and I am ordained minister through the prisons, and I'm part of the PA Prison Society, so I've been to a lot of the prisons, is you see people just like you see here today. Moms, aunts, uncles, grandpas, sisters, children. It doesn't matter. You know, sin doesn't, you know, it's not like they go, oh, okay, we're going to skip you because you sit in the front row of a church. No. When sin hits and the enemy attacks, he will attack and use whatever he can. And so I had met these wonderful women that are just like you and me, that honestly just made some bad choices, and there they were. So when she was released, it really broke my heart because I thought I didn't want to not still be involved in helping the women, but I didn't know what to do. So right away, I was able to get joined up with PA Prison Society, which would allow me to still work with the inmates. Right away, I was able to get ordained, well, not right away, but ordained that I could go into any of the prison systems. And then I started looking things up, you know, like incarceration rates, prostitution rates, drug rates, you know, trying to figure it all out. And that's when I came across something that it really struck me because, again, I had gone to church my whole life. A lot of my family is God's missionary pilgrim holiness, you know. I went to the Nazarene church, you know, with my husband. So I've been involved on the church boards, ministry, youth, women's ministry, but I had never heard of this. And the site, it took me by surprise because it was called Hookers for Jesus. I was like, well, okay, you know, that's a little bit, it takes you back a little bit. You're not, you know, normally see that. And I know some people know this about me, but oddly enough, my maiden name was Hooker. You know, so some of the women find a little bit of humor in that because they're like, no, you cannot be right. And I'm like, you want to see my ID? I'm not lying to you. You know, we have to laugh sometimes. I grew up with the name. You have to laugh. But anyway, the article was about, and I'm 48, so I'm talking 80s, you know, Christian rock, Striper, Petra, you know, all those, if anybody is old enough here. This lady is married to one of the singers from Striper. And she had been in the adult industry, and she came out and she made a safe home out in Las Vegas. And this was her site, Hooker, and she has one on Facebook, Hookers for Jesus. I guess be cautious of what you search, but she does have a legitimate site. And she allows the women that are in the industry who want help to come out and to come into her safe home. And then it all begins, you know, with care and mentoring and whatever they have. So I was like, wow, that is amazing. Then it brought me to another article about a lady who would go into the adult strip clubs and she would take food and you know, toiletries and clothing just to help the women. Again, not any kind of ministry I ever heard of at any of our churches. You know, you just didn't see that sign up in your back table. And so it just kept, he just kept speaking to me, you need to do this. You need to do this. And of course, at that time, I had 5 children. I'm going, everyone is going to lose their minds, you know, if I do this. And so I approached my husband and I said, listen, this is what I feel I'm supposed to do. But I'm so worried because, you know, what is everybody going to think? I'm a mom. And if I start going to the adult strip clubs, they're going to go, what are you doing? And he said, and this is the greatness of who he is. He said, Andrea, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. If he wants you to do it, you do it. It doesn't matter what anyone else's opinion is. Only his matters. And so very soon after, a lady that I had interaction with through the Department of Health, she was an amazing cook. She's about 20 years older than me. I made an approach to a club in Duncannon. And I talked to the manager. And of course, you know, I absolutely, if I stood up here and said I never saw anything in my life, I would be a liar. I had never been to a strip club. I grew up in a city and I was to a lot of different clubs, but not an adult club. I obviously did see adult content in my life. So I thought I knew what it was going to be like. And I walked in and it really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. In my head, I was still glamorizing it, even in the scent of it. I thought it's going to be a real fancy place, that the women are just going to have to be the most beautiful, fit women you've ever seen in your life, because why would men leave their spouses and girlfriends if it wasn't so? And so when I walked in, you know, the ceiling tiles were just falling down. The smell was horrible. It was just nasty, very smoky. And then I started looking around at the women that were there. And you know what? They looked just like everyone here. You know, there wasn't one that was standing out to be some, you know, grand woman that you've never seen before. They were just like each of us here. And so I approached the manager. And again, you have to understand, I really look out of place. My typical attire is like blue jean skirts, head covering. You know, that's just me. And so there I am at the strip club, you know, and they're like, wait a second, who is this lady? And so I told them what I wanted to do. And he said, honey, what are you smoking? And I said, I promise you, I can assure you I'm not smoking anything. And he said, well, most of Christians are outside protesting us. And I said, I don't want to do that. I just want to bring food and if people have babies, I'll bring diapers and wipes. And he is like, I have no idea why I'm saying this, but okay. So We approached in very shortly after, bringing stuffed shells and garlic bread and salad. And we went in, and that's where it began. We started interacting with the women, and food is a huge hit. No matter what part of your life you're going through something, food across the board just equalizes things out. It makes people happy when they're sad or when they're angry. It's a good thing. If you don't know what to do sometimes, just promise you, give somebody food. And so that was all my plan was at that point. Go in, meet with the ladies, provide needs. About 3 weeks into it, I had people wanting to get out. And I thought, what on earth am I going to do now? I did not have that part planned. And Jeremy, we're scrambling. He's like, I can try to figure something out in the shop. I can try to put walls up. You know, we're just trying to figure it all out. And so in the beginning, I used some government agencies, and I won't say their names because I'm not trying to be offensive towards them. They have their benefits of existence, but the bottom line is the women were a number in these places because if they weren't there, the bed was still filled. Also, they had employees. They were being paid. It wasn't their heart's mission to work with the women. And the women felt that. So they were going back into the industry. And I thought, well, this is crazy. You know, I don't want to go in and get the women out if they're just going to go back into it. That just seemed silly. And so we prayed, and the lady that was the amazing cook, she really was a prayer warrior, still is. And she said, we're going to figure this out. It's going to happen. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, I was thinking, I don't know. I don't know how. But she had a friend that at that point didn't have any children. She was an older lady. She was sitting in an empty home. And she said, listen, I will allow you to use my home. Bring the women here. I said, wait. Do you know what I'm asking? Because there's a lot to it. You know, it's not just as simple as someone coming to stay with you. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of things that have happened to the women. And she said, I'm not a professional. I'm not a counselor, you know, but I can offer my home. I can offer my love. I can be their mom, their grandma, their aunt, their mentor, their sister, whatever they want to call me. And I can walk alongside them in this journey. I said, well, that sounds good to me. And so very quickly filled that house up. I don't know if she still to this day, she's probably like, what happened, you know, all these years ago. But that's, you know, it started. And now we have now 15 different homes. The numbers keep growing that people are allowing us to use. And they're just private homes. They're not being paid, you know, through an organization or government funding. They have a desire to help the women and children that we work with. And they have graciously offered their home for them to stay. And for the first time, the women weren't going back into it. Because for the first time in their life, they had true, honest love. And one thing that was amazing is the women that have the home, they have a fire and passion for Yeshua in their lives. That makes a huge difference. When you pair that with the mentoring and the trauma help and the care, you can do all those things separately. But when you add having a relationship with him, that's where it changes everything. And so in the beginning, you know, I was just kind of blown away by the whole adult industry. Because of course, yes, I had seen adult content, meaning pornography, in my life. But it still just troubled me because I'm seeing real people. And that's the thing I want to point out today too, pornography. You know, it's, I don't want to say easy, but our society has made it easy to view pornography. You know, when I was younger, there was people in my life, I don't want to throw them under the bus. There's people in my life that had pornography in our home and in our neighborhoods and our families. And they were in the forms of magazines. They had to go to like an adult bookstore or, you know, a greasy gas station. Nowadays, it's in the palm of everyone's hand. You don't have to go anywhere, and it's right there. And so it's become more easy to access the very thing that will destroy someone. And that was what I was seeing. You know, but now these were real people in front of me. They weren't on a screen. you know, and it was just, it hit me different, you know, and if you would ever meet the women, it would hit you different. You know, they're just not an object for someone's personal gain. They are real people. And I can recall, like in the beginning, there was also massage parlors. Now I'm not talking about your nice day spas. They're massage parlors. And I don't know that I have to be too graphic about it, but they are for sexual gain. I'll say that much. The first time I went to one in Duncannon, I was still on the road out in front. And I saw someone that I knew coming out of it. And I thought to myself, well, because they were a pastor, and I had heard them preach many times in my life, I thought, well, maybe they're doing ministry. I didn't think that would seem too appropriate because on this end, Jeremy and our boys don't do this part of the ministry. Wouldn't be super appropriate for them to go into the clubs and view the women not dressed. But I still didn't want to throw him under the bus. And so I waited until he left. And then I went in and I played dumb. And I said, hey, did you know the guy that just left? Oh, yeah, he's one of our regulars. We get a lot of Christian-type people here. And I'm like, and of course now, fast forward over 7 years later, that can't be more true. Because I have seen pastors. I have seen Sunday school teachers. I have seen people that go to church, you know, any areas of leadership or just being in a congregation, I've seen them. I've seen businessmen, police officers, judges, attorneys, people within the healthcare system, daycare systems, people's husbands, people's boyfriends, people's wives, girlfriends, you name it, I've seen it. And it just really broke my heart because that day, you walk into a foyer and they have these like, I don't know the technical term, but there are those purple fluorescent lights. And you walk into the foyer and then you have to buzz in. And so I hit the buzzer and a lady who was an older lady, she came and she was putting a dress over herself. She was not dressed. And there was a sign there and it said, you know, $50 for 15 minutes, $75 for a half an hour, you know, and so forth. And I said, what does someone get for $50 for 15 minutes? Because, you know, any spa I've been to, that would be a really high rate for 15 minutes. And she said, well, she said, we're not dressed. They don't have to be dressed and they can touch us wherever they like. I'm like, excuse me, you know, excuse me, wait. And I said, wherever they like. And she said, yes. And I won't be any more graphic than that, but she did share other details of what happens. And you guys understand what I mean, I'm sure. And now I have sat at Muncie with women who, because maybe they were on the street or a corner or in a hotel, they were sitting in prison for prostitution. But here you have a legal business that is open in the state of Pennsylvania and throughout the United States that can do all those things and still be open and no one's going to jail. I'm not a fan of the prison system currently. I wish it was better. Yes, I don't really think it fixes people. I know the one thing that does fix people, you know, and it's not necessarily prison. But it just was horrible because I thought, and I saw the lineup of the women that were there, had I made the decision, hey, I would like to see someone today. And they were all ages, all weights, all stages of life. And even at the clubs, you will have $20 for a dance. Now, and I'm not putting any of these the men here down. Trust me, I'm not. Because honestly, I see women too in this industry. So don't think, oh, she's bashing me. I'm not, I promise. And in fact, anytime I've ever seen someone there at the clubs, I don't think they're horrible people. I just know that Satan has made his way into their lives and that this is an area that they're tempted by and here they are. And so if I see them, I usually pray for them. Because who am I to stand above them and act like I'm so much greater when I'm not? It's only by his grace and mercy that I can even be where I'm at. But for $20, man or woman can go back the hall. And they call it a lap dance. But the purpose is pretty straightforward. Most families are not going to miss $20. If your husband is 15 minutes late from work, he can explain it away. If your wife is 15 minutes, you know, late from work. She can explain it away. Most people, unless they're very strict with their budget, $20, they're not going to miss it. Do you see how easy it has become to continue this vicious sin in people's life? They can pull in and for $20 get a physical need met that continues to destroy them and their family and for that woman that they're purchasing. $20 purchases someone. I've seen $5 purchase someone in Kensington. We were set up there and a lady was walking down the street advertising $5. My son Elijah, he was younger, he says, "Mom, what's $5? And I said, "Elijah, she's selling herself for $5. "What?" I said, "She's struggling with addiction. And $5 is what she needs for this particular moment to get something. And that's what she's going to accept. She is willing to give herself away in order to meet that addiction." And the women that have been at the club, it just started happening. In fact, if you ever go down through Duncannon, you will notice two of those places are closed. I kept getting them out. They would replace them. I kept getting them out. They would replace them. I kept getting them out. I still have one that I am working on. Castaways. I'll just say the name right there because I want you all to pray. We're going to just close it down. We're going to bring it down. They could see that there was another way. Because in Williamsport one time, there's a hotel near one of the clubs. And I was getting women out. In that particular time frame, there was a 13-year-old there and a 12-year-old there. And one of the women who worked at the club, she was an older lady, a mom type. And she really wanted the woman to be okay. And she said, "Andrea, there's young ones over at the hotel." I said, "Okay." And she said, "Who's in the room with them?" She said, "Well, Andrea, I think it's someone from this church, local church." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Because I went to the food bank that they have, and him and his wife were there, sat at the food bank at the church, and they're the ones in the room right now." Two parts to that. Again, you see how Satan works. People within a solid church, very probably good people in a lot of ways, were caught up in this industry. And we're now in a room with 8 to 10 girls, underage girls, for sexual benefit. That's one part. Two, the woman at the club, I said to her, "Are you telling me that you had to go to a food bank that you don't have food?" I don't have food. I said, "So the amount that you make in this industry is not enough for you to even buy food?" Sometimes people have this misconception that these women are just making thousands of dollars, you know, like in the movies, that money is just a fly-in. That is just not true. And a lot of times they are controlled by manipulation. They will watch. They know. Men, if you have a daughter, step up. Be the man that Yahweh wants you to be, not only in your marriage, but as a father. These girls are looking to you for their worth and their value. They need you to show that to them. If you do not do that, the world will. People prey on the girls online. They know, "Oh, that girl is insecure. That girl thinks that she's not so much. That girl's been abused." They know what to watch for, and then they swoop in and offer the world, "You should never be treated like this. You are beautiful. I would never do that to you." And it starts off a relationship that the girls are so happy. Someone's giving them attention. Maybe they're not getting it at home. And very quickly, it turns into a situation where they're being trafficked, or they're being sold, or they're asked to offer pictures so that they can share it with their friends. And one of the women that I got out, she said, "You know, when I was dating someone, he was kind of popular. I didn't think he'd look twice at me. And so when he did, I was just so excited about it. And he started to ask me to send pictures of myself, not dressed. And I was nervous, but I was like, I know everybody's doing this. It's just kind of normal." So she said, "I did, but then he shared them with all his friends for money." And I approached him about it, and he just said, he made fun of me. He laughed in my face. And she said, and that's when the cutting began. You know, and so we're dealing with so many women and children that are just utterly destroyed. They do not understand their worth and value because they're looking in the wrong place. When I was younger, I had a rough time. I had a very abusive father. I was in the hospital. I mean, he broke my ribs. He knocked me unconscious. He tried to drown me. You know, I was nothing to him. And so, of course, I looked in other places to find my value, which led me to abusive relationships, which led me to being knocked through windows, downstairs. And guess what? I get out of the hospital. Where was I? Right back with the very person that abused me. It's a pattern. You know, a lot of times people say they just need to get out. There's no chains on them. They can get away. You know, because they're thinking about movies that you see people chained to the walls and in dog cages. And does that happen? Yes. But physical chains are nothing compared to the invisible chains of trauma, of abuse, of feeling worthless, of feeling like you don't matter to a single soul on this earth. You will stay when you have no reason to move forward. And so that's what the beauty of it is with the women. And yes, the youngest that I've got now is 3 months old. And someone said to me, my aunt said to me, and she's a retired school teacher. She said, Andrea, what do you mean 3 months old? Oh, were they wanting to adopt the baby? Well, I'm sure that does happen too. Of course, there's a black market for everything. I said, I wish I could say that, but that is not true. That was in Sealands Grove. Okay? I'll just say very near to the Bob Evans, and I'm sure you guys can picture which hotel. The mother of the 3-month-old was 13 years old. The person that was coming was a school teacher from a local area. And we got them out before they came. And then I waited. We got them to a safe house, and I waited to meet the people that were coming. Because, you know, at some point in time, you know, everybody says, do you just call the police, Andrea? Do you just, you know, right away call the police? I would just call the police on the women. Well, then you can't help our ministry. Because that would not help the situation at all. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, the women are going to get hit with the charges. You're going to have a man that might have a little bit of money or a lot of money who is able to get out of the situation, sometimes without anybody knowing or only having to do a little community service, which he can kind of brush under the rug. And so there you have re-victimized the very one that is being abused. And so sadly, the 3-month-old, they were coming for sexual reasons. Our world is sick. Thankfully, we have hope in him for that to change. But right now, this is the reality. You know, and everybody wants to just say, it doesn't happen in our areas. It's just is not, there's no way. We are just a family ministry. We're not some big organization. You know, when I say just, we operate out of our home with our family and our children. I don't have these mass resources. But even in the last like 10 months, I've gotten now a little bit closer to 400 women and children out from Williamsport, Lewisburg, Union County, Sealands Grove, State College, Harrisburg, York, you name it, it has happened. And that's the thing too, sometimes you don't realize that even in your neighbor's homes, things are happening. People are being sold, you know, with the social media aspect and OnlyFans and Skip the Games, and there's a lot of different, you know, resources out there. You know, that people are selling themselves, advertising. I mean, the one site, and I won't even say the name, you can go on and click Lewisburg or Williamsport, and you will see all the people, not all of them, but a lot of the people for sale in our towns. And there's no doubt because it lists exactly what they're willing to do. So it's not like, you know, I'm going, I don't know what this is. Yes, you do. It lays it out right there. And how much. And so that's where we as a church, a body of Christ, we have to be able to stand up and go, you know what? We can't sweep this under the pews. Nobody wants to talk about sexual addiction. I get that. It's embarrassing. It's uncomfortable. And depending on how you're raised, it's even more uncomfortable. But it's here. And I mean, I don't know anybody here personally that is struggling with it, but I can guarantee you with the amount of people that are in this room, there are people struggling with sexual sin. There just are. And it's not something that you should feel like ashamed to talk about in your church. You can, you know, men, you can hold each other accountable. You can, you know, we, in fact, a pimp in the one club, been going in for months. He ended up coming in. The whole atmosphere changed within the club. You knew he was somebody. And he motioned for me to come over. And so I did. And he was like, who are you? And you and I'm not cocky or well, sometimes, but I try to work on that. I was going to say, maybe talk to my husband sometimes, because he just said, I said something about stubbornness yesterday, and he just looked at me. He's like, I'm like, yeah, I am stubborn. Anyway, not in a bad way, but you can't pretend to be timid in certain situations. So when he said, who are you? My natural response was, who are you? And he just looked at me like a little shocked, because he's used to the women just responding, you know, to his authority that he thinks he has. And he threw out a big, huge wad of money. And he said, I'm the man that owns these women. And I said, nah, no, you're not. And he just was like, what on earth, lady? And I said, but I know who does. I do know who owns these women. And I pray that someday you realize it too. He just looked at me like I had a third eyeball. And then he said, I know who you are. And he said, so you try and take my girls? I said, no, but if they want to come with me, then I'm going to. And he said, oh, really? I said, I've already done it, and I'm going to condemn you. If they want to come, I can't force them, but if they want to come, they're going to go get in the van and come. Simple. And he said, I said, you know, all I'm trying to do is provide food, you know, toiletries, clothing, to give them a link for some of the things that they don't have. And he said, what do you have for food today? And I told him. And I said, my friend, who was mortified and scared to death by this point, she's like, I'm going to pee myself and I'm going to run out of here. I'm like, please do not do either. We don't need to do that. But you know what? I served him food. I served the pimp that is running the woman food. He liked it, thought it was great. Every single time he came back when I was there, what he got for food, I would tell him. I would serve him. He enjoyed it. At some point, he said to me, he had tears coming down his cheeks. He said, do you really believe in all this stuff? I said, what stuff? He's like, you know, all the stuff you do. And I said, well, if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing it. And he said, even for someone like me that's done everything that I've done, I said, especially for someone like you that has done everything that you've done. And I said, what's amazing is that he's here right now in this strip club, waiting for you with open arms to change your life. And I said, isn't that amazing? And he just straightened up because he realized the women are seeing him emotional. Guess what? Within 2 weeks, he showed up at his family's church in Harrisburg. Everyone knows he runs drugs. He's a pimp. He carries weapons. You don't mess with him. He came down the middle aisle in the middle of the service, and people were unsure what is getting ready to transpire. Well, what transpired is this man that has sold women, that has provided drugs, that has caused people to die, that has killed people, because he's told me. He ran in the humbleness of the Holy Spirit to the altar, and he gave his life over to Yeshua. And you know what? All these years later, it's amazing because he goes nationwide. He pulls into a strip club and he waits. He waits for the men to pull in and he gets out and he says, listen, I know why you're here. I get it. But let me show you a different path. And he said, Andrea, do you know what it's like to have a revival in the strip club parking lot? And I said, actually, I do, because it's happened, you know. We've had a lot of revivals, and because I've been in trap houses, casinos, hotels, and we've had revivals and cry downs, showdowns, whatever you want to call them. You know, we've had it in every season of life. The van that I use, which I just have another one now, there's been more tears and praises and just pouring out all of the hurt and torment and torture in those places than ever before. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, what we do. So when we get the women, and I'll try to keep it, wrap it up here, because I know you guys are used to going, but I could be here all day, because it's so important for you to understand, if you leave with nothing else, to just understand that this is happening all around you and that you might not know what to do. But like with Mother Teresa, I really am always reminded of this, and I'm not going to probably say it right, but it's talking about, you know, I can't do everything as one person, but I can do something that then creates a ripple effect. And I've seen that over and over again in the last over 7 years, because I'm like, Yahweh, like, here, I'm just, look at me, like, I'm just this mom, I'm just this wife. And he's like, no, you are a daughter of me. I am giving you my power to do what I need you to do for my glory. So it's no, I'm just a mom, I'm just a wife. No, you're a daughter of the King, and I'm going to work with you. And that's what's so amazing, because when the women come out, they go to, I don't like to call them safe homes, but some people do. They go to the homes with real people, with other women that are there, and each one's different. Some have to learn maybe how to cook, how to do laundry. Some don't know how to manage money. Some just can't even get off the couch because they're in total shock of what just transpired. For me to be able to get the women is a huge deal, because you have to understand, they can't trust anybody. And so it boggles my mind too, that when I go, that sometimes they run to me and I'm just blown away, but I feel that Yahweh's providing that sense of peace and protection during that time, that they know we're safe, we're okay. And so then to see them healing at their own levels, we don't have a kickout time. That's what I don't like about some of the organizations. They're like 30 days, 45 days, you're out. Then what? You know, we don't have a kickout time. However long you need to stay there is how long you're going to stay there. And you can heal and you can learn. And you can, if you want to work and do all those things that you haven't been able to do, we're going to walk right alongside you. And the real work is done in those homes, you know, where they're living there with the women and children. And it's crazy, because when you see a person change from knowing their worth of what the world says versus what Yahweh says, it is the most beautiful thing to witness, I promise you, because they finally understand their worth and value in Him, and nothing else is ever going to matter the same way. And we continue, He continues to open doors. Children and youth, I was never really a big fan of them because I always heard all these horror stories, but they reached out and said, Union County said, can you meet with us? We want you to come and talk to our staff. We need 30 minutes, 30 minutes. Okay. Well, that 30 minutes turned into 3 hours that they had me there. And then at the end of the 3 hours, they said, hey, can you wait just another minute? So I'm texting my husband, sorry, it's a little bit longer. We have a lady, can you help her? Like when? 10 minutes? That day they put me to work, which I was happy to do. And so I met with a mom and a child that were struggling. And since then, they call us often to help women and children that they're just not sure what to do. You know, and that's a beautiful thing. The Amish and Mennonite and Plain communities, they are reaching out now too. And that's the thing too. You know, it's like one of the women said to me, you don't understand. Everyone views our community that we have this perfect life. We are just this prim and proper, peaceful, existing community. Nothing bad happens here. We just love the Lord. And she said, that's not my life. It is dark. I have no joy. I am so tired of being abused. And there is so much abuse, physical, mental, sexual, and control. And it starts at the youngest age all the way up. And then it just passes on to the next generation, the cycle of abuse. But guess what? They're starting to stand up and say, hey, these generational curses, I don't think so. I think we're done with this. They are speaking up and reaching out to say, will you be willing to help us, Andrea? Will you be willing to help get the women? And yes, so we started doing that. And some prices have come to that. Someone took the wheel and all the lug nuts off my husband's trailer to go down the road. We've been having people make some threats. We've been in restaurants where we've been watched and, you know, tried to intimidate us. But guess what? It's not going to work. it's not going to work because you know what? My mom really just freaks out about me doing this. But I told her, and I tell you this as I stand here today, if something ever happens to me and you see me in the news or you see my obituary that I get harmed in doing this ministry, just know that I died in a way that he needed me to be used. It's not a sorrowful thing. He's using me. If that makes it that someday I lose my life in serving him, I am more fearful of not obeying him than of what's going to happen to me in the world. And so I'm going to wrap up this morning again. The other part that we do, and I want to say this too, is why we have so many children, is we do help women and families if they are struggling and they don't, you know, we provide guardianship sometimes where if a family doesn't know what to do or if a mom is struggling or a dad is struggling, you know, we have a way to help. And obviously, the mom and dad have to do their part, and I can't force them always to do it, and you're praying along with them that they will change and do the right things. But that is how right now we have 7 of our children that are in our home started that way, you know? And it's emotional because they are just little innocent children, and some of them have been abused. And some of them have been through a lot of trauma that they should have never had to happen in their entire life. But it isn't the end of their story. He has picked up the pieces and he has provided a way for them to now be safe. And even more than that, to be loved and to be cherished and to know their worth in him. And this morning you might think to yourselves, what can I do? I can't, there's no way I'm going into a strip club. I'm not, that's not me. You don't have to, but if you read the Bible, everyone that the Bible used, this is not, the, I started looking at this, and this is hymnal. Everyone that he used, the modern church would dismiss. Look at all the characters in the Bible that he pulled off mighty works through. Nowadays, the body of Christ, they might go, oh my goodness, no way, you are not fit for any kind of ministry. You cannot dismiss who he has ordained and has seen fit to bring glory to him. Try it. Doesn't work very well. Don't be ones that sit here or any church and go, oh, I know what they did. I know what they did. They shouldn't be up here talking. They shouldn't be helping with the children. I mean, obviously there are certain things, but he will use anyone. It doesn't matter what their story. He picks up the ashes and gathers them all together and presents the most beautiful gift that the world has ever seen. And there's definitely ways, if you know someone that has a child that they're helping, take them a crock pot dinner, you know, give them a Cracker Barrel gift card, do what Rose does, bring diapers, you know, clothes, snacks when you're meeting, offer prayer, check in on them. See if they're okay. We also have different things for the women that we're trying to have mentors that are willing to walk alongside the women and help them. Also with the situations with children and youth, sometimes we need extra people, you know. I also put on Facebook like different ministry needs. And sometimes they're as simple as, you know, maybe a gas gift card or some diapers or, you know, whatever it is. There's different ways to be involved. And biblically speaking, we're supposed to. We're supposed to take care and help the people that are incarcerated and the widows and orphans. There's no place, because sometimes this ministry is not super popular because, you know, I don't want to deal with those type of people. Those type of people he created in his image. And they don't have to look the same as you and I. Or they might look the same of us and just have a different background. But again, we each have a place that we can absolutely do something, and doing something creates the ripple effect for others to do something, for others to do something. And that's the beauty of it. I thank you guys so much. And again, I'm sorry I went over. I didn't mean to. But I'm just very passionate about it. If you have any questions, I'll still be here afterwards. I have ministry cards in the back. If you ever know of someone that needs help or you just want to have some available, Take as many as you need. Feel free to reach me, phone, text. I'm on Facebook, Mercy Run Ministry. Because sometimes people, I've been in situations where they don't want to come up to me for someone to know about a situation. All your stuff will stay confidential. You don't have to worry about that. We just want to be able to help. Thank you so much and for this opportunity to come.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay, could I have the worship team up? We're going to close with being able to come to the altar.